introduce from Seoul, Korea. This is Captain Lorman of the Cosmodel K-Mag and 1G. We are seated in the office of Chaplain Major Ketty, Assist Mace Army Chaplain, with Dr. and Mrs. G on the morning of 6 April, 1959. It is our intention to leave a few thoughts with you who may be listening concerning to the status of the Lutheran work that is being conducted here at this time, together with the expectations and hopes of the future, and some thoughts concerning the American Armed Forces who are presently engaged in their work here in Korea also. When Dr. and Mrs. G arrived on the 26th of September in Seoul, and since that time have been working toward the opening and the operation of future Lutheran activities here in various fields. There are many difficulties involved in this type of an operation, and many problems to be solved. However, the work does go forward, and Dr. G will now tell you some of the things which he has experienced and some of the expectations which he presently holds for Luther's doctrine and church in the land of Korea.
Thank you, Captain Lorman. It is a real pleasure for me to speak to you from Seoul, Korea. First of all, I thank you, Pastor Bird, for the fine outline of questions which I follow in this talk. In the first question, you asked me to describe the transition which we experienced as we were lifted from an American type and life into Korean life. I should say this first, that we have already been in Korea for 6 months since last October. After being in America for 10 years and 6 months for me, and 4 years and 7 months for my wife. Our daughter Louise, as most of you know, was born in St. Paul, Minnesota, about a year ago. During my absence, Korea has been changed much in the past 10 or 12 years. The nature itself, mountains and rivers, is still there, but the people are changed. Their attitude, their outlook. First 2 months in Korea, I used to feel as a stranger in homeland, but I am gradually adjusted. There are so many things which we have to make new adjustments. The sudden change from the way of life in America, though it had been, too, once upon a time, strange to the life of a Korean way, is not easy matter at all. We have to relearn how to live without central heating system at home in a cold winter day, cook without gas or electric stove, how to write and read at a cold, unheated study room, live without a large supermarket or handy drugstore, how to sleep on the floor instead on the bed, because bed was often too cold in winter evenings and the like. Above all, we have to learn how to live like Koreans with the limited means of life. In my work also, no less adjustments to be made. I have to learn how to work without automobiles, for instance, as I used 2 years in St. Paul when I was an assistant pastor at Jehovah Lutheran Church, and learn to utilize rather slow public transportation, which takes much time, very much time, yet learn how to do an effective work. Sometimes to make one visit or call of a person in a strange address takes whole morning or afternoon hours to locate the place and speak to the people. And then I have to learn how to assume the responsibilities, which are rather too much to carry. I often feel lonesome in work. But we are my wife and I, we are conscientiously endeavoring to find a new joy, a new courage, and a new interest in work. I mean in our mission work. When we succeed in this, we could and we would not feel lonesome nor missing anything. My constant question is, how much can we do for the Lord and for our people? Now your second question is, what are the greatest needs of the Korean people today? Many things can be said on this question. One great need, in fact, the greatest, is Christ and his saving gospel. I am convinced that when more Korean people would know and accept our Savior in their hearts, many small trivial needs and problems can be solved. Their needs are the key, joy and courage which Christ can give. If I may, I can also mention that there are still many people who need help for their necessities in life, such as clothing and food. There is almost unlimited possibility for help in this land. Occasionally, we have received used clothing and other things from America and distributed them to the needy people. We don't have problem of troubling Korea to find the needy folks. They are in our immediate neighborhood also. Your kind remembrance of those people in Korea in this line will be appreciated anytime and always. The third question is, would you relate a few actual experiences in your mission field, that is in Korea? Since our arrival in Korea last fall, I have been asked by various groups, schools, and organizations to speak, to teach, and to write articles. I accept them whenever time permits. I wrote several articles for daily newspapers, periodicals in Seoul, Korea, spoke often at various gatherings, including several sermons in English at the Lutheran service at U.S. Army Chapel in Seoul. I just like to give you a few specific occasions. In December, I conducted the Wednesday morning chapel services at the Bronx Medical College in Seoul, 6 hours lecture at Korean Army, Navy, Air Force, Joint Chaplain's Retreat in Seoul in March. The topics for the lectures were the background and the contributions of the Reformation, the second, pastoral counseling, the third, a comparative study of predestination by Luther and Calvin. Perhaps the most significant date for Korean mission is February 15, 1959. This day, the first Lutheran faith information class was organized and started the instruction by me at Korean YMCA conference room in Seoul. The YMCA is not what one would imagine after visiting some in the United States. The original YMCA building was destroyed, and this is just a temporary one-story structure. The conference room, where we have the adult class, has 2 rows of benches. Along each wall, there are 3 adults who could sit on each bench. The room is approximately 12 feet wide and 30 feet long. There's a litter that he does how it's perfect in the front, an old foot pump organ along the wall towards the rear. These days are getting warm, but in February the weather was still cold. I used to take along a portable kerosene stove to help to remove the stove. It did help us some. Ever since, the class has been going very successfully. No less than 30 people have attended each Sunday. I have been enjoying the class perhaps more than the people who attend. This is the first Lutheran confirmation class, and consequently, these faithful members of the class will be, God willing, the first Lutherans in Korea and the first fruit of our work in Korea. I write the teaching materials for confirmation class each week in Korean language. Everything in Korea, either chat, which we put out, or instruction materials, or church service liturgical materials, all has to be written or translated into Korean language. I do the work. Much work for my limited little task. Since our missionaries are still learning faithfully the language, we cannot expect anything from them at the present time. I don't believe any foreign missionary can do any literary work such as writing or translating into Korean language. I can tell many more things, but I feel that we have to stop talking on this one question. However, I would like to mention this, that the encouraging word came from St. Louis as to the organizing New Korean and Lutheran Hour. So I, together with other missionaries, is trying to find the place and also organizing the program into the Korean language. So you will hear in the near future about the further development of the Korean Lutheran Hour. The fourth question made by Pastor Bush is, what are the urgent needs and your field of mission work? In answering this question, first of all, we need your prayers, constant prayers for us and for our work, together with your encouragement. Please remember that Korea is a pioneer field for Lutherans. There are much discouragement, hardship, difficulties, and headaches as well. Second, Korea mission field needs workers, I mean missionaries at the present stage of work. Workers who have the following qualifications: dedicated spirit for the Lord, love for Korean people, men with creative mind, or men of ideas and courage, men with zeal to undertake something and to create work rather than wait for work. Take something and to create work. A Korean is not a man with a talent or intelligence only, but at present time especially men with courage and also ideas together with intelligence. I do mention this point at the top of the list because that is the pressing need of Korean mission as a pioneer field. Please remember that the number of workers alone doesn't perform the work. I have discovered that the room for foreign missionaries, at least in Korea, is very limited. They can do very little in actual work. They have so many things handicapped. They can be effective in these capacities only, as helpers and advisors to the national workers and promoters for the work in America. It is so obvious that any advisor without some new ideas or initiatives or suggestions, she is very little useful for often hindering to the work. Therefore, I do encourage you folks in America to send to Korea men with ideas and initiatives and adventurous spirit. I do not mean to say that you should send us a large number of missionaries. We don't need too many missionaries, but only few, but useful and working ones. In a pioneer field, such men are necessary. This statement may give you a surprise, but it is one of my new discoveries since our return to Korea. Situations in Korea have been changed, so also the use for foreign missionaries. If I mention one more immediate need for Korean mission, I would like to say that we have to have a decent meeting place, either rented or purchased. YMCA conference room is the least adequate place for our youth. Very noisy and small. A convenient hour for new instructional classes, the space is not available. Some of our men may still talk about the lofty idea on mission, not knowing the situation here, demanding the handful babies in Christ to prepare meeting place for themselves without any assistance from our side. Nevertheless, the real picture is far from the dream. I too, go for establishing an indigenous Korean Lutheran church in the near future. But this is just too idealistic at the present moment, perhaps an impossible at task. Now the fifth question is, what difficulties do you face as you carry out the Lord's commission in Korea? Only one thing, that is, there are many things to be done, but few can. The sixth question is, what can we do in your estimation to be of more personal assistance to you and the Lord's work in his field? First, your prayers. Second, your encouragement through letters or cards or suggestions and ideas. Thirdly, please do promote our so-called Lutheran Servicemen's Memorial Library project and make it alive. The vision which I saw and many of my close friends in America saw in this humble project must be kept alive. I see more and more the significance of this project. The aim of that project, which I have outlined several years ago and revised last year, are what we actually need most in Korea. I confirm this statement after the observation of Korea in the past 6 months. Also, by the kind request of Pastor Bruce, I would like to read some portions in Korean language. Perhaps many of you would like to hear the Korean language. All of these materials which I'm going to read are written or translated by me. I will read a little portion of each. First of all, the most familiar Korean prayer for meal, which you pray every morning and three times a day at least. 예수님, 지금 우리들이 받는 이 식탁에 오셔서 우리의 기준이 되시옵고 이 좋은 음식이 우리에게 복이 되게 하옵소서. 아멘. Next, I'm going to read a portion of the Nicene Creed. Now, I took that Nicene Creed because even though the Apostles' Creed has been translated into Korean language in the past by some other Protestant workers, but the Nicene Creed and Athanasian Creed have never been translated. So I did translate these two universal creeds, and I distributed and I taught to our people at YMCA. So I'm going to read a little bit from the Nicene Creed. 저는 유일무이하시고 전능하시며 천지와 모든 보이는 것과 보이지 않는 것을 창조하신 하나님 아버지를 믿으며 유일하신 주 예수 그리스도를 믿습니다. 그는 하나님의 독생자이시며 온 우주에 앞서 나셨고 참신이시며 참빛이시며 참신 가운데 참신이시며 하나님에게서 나셨고 참 창조함을 받지 않으셨고 성부 하나님과 같은 본질이시며 그로 말미암아 모든 만물이 창조되었고 모든 인간들과 우리들의 구원을 위하여 하늘에서 마리아였고 정신으로서 동정녀 마리아에게서 인간으로 나셨고 우리를 위하여 본디오 빌라도에게 십자가에 달려 죽으셨습니다. Something like this. Now I'm going to read that next just a little portion from one of our Lutheran texts which I prepared. Now, I'm quoting from a text. The title of this text is, What is the Lutheran Church? Well, I'm talking about explaining to the people Lutheran Church as the church of the Bible.
성교 교회, 성교 교회의 교회는 성교 교회다. 하나님의 말씀만이 루터가 가르친 것이며 루터 교회에서 가르치는 것이다. 이 기독교 교리의 근본이며 근원인 하나님의 말씀이 사람의 언어로 쓰여진 것이 곧 성교인 것이다. 다시 루터 교회에서 성교 이외에 몇 개의 신앙 고백서를 사용하나 이 신앙 고백서들은 성교를 대신하는 것이나 또는 성교 위에 무엇을 가하려는 것은 결코 아니며 단지 성서 교리의 요강에 불과하며 에베까지나 기독교 교리의 요점을 적절하고 감미하게 설명하고자 하는 것이다. 하나님의 영감으로 쓰여진 이 성서만이 기독교의 유일한 권위이며 구원에 필요한 모든 진리를 사람들에게 가르쳐주며 성서 이외에 무엇이나 교회의 위건, 교권, 혹은 교황서 또는 성서를 대행하거나 보충할 수는 없다. 그런 거라 하나님의 말씀만이 루터 교회에서 가르치는 유일한 교도인 것이다. Now, friends, in closing, I would like to say that it has been a real happy occasion and privilege for me to speak to you through this tape. I think of you, friends, quite often. We miss you and many other faithful friends in America. Missing many good food, delicious milkshakes, modern milk, ice cream, which we used to enjoy in America, is really nothing when you think of how much we miss our good friends there in America. America has given us many lasting and pleasant memories. You have been so good to us. God bless you and yours abundantly. Goodbye.
Since Peter, Paul, and the other apostles have been carrying out the command of Christ to go into the far corners of the earth to preach the crucified Christ, baptizing and teaching the doctrines of Jesus and his salvation, many problems have faced all missionaries, and Dr. G certainly has a number of problems. To this I can testify, having seen a number of the frustrations that face them personally with my own eyes. I must appreciate and respect the courage with which he carries on his work under great difficulty. However, as has been the case since the time of the apostles, while the man is carrying forth his duties in whatever area his activities may carry him, he must be fed, and that is where the wife comes in. Mrs. G has developed skills that make her a past master at this. She has not only been agreeable in presenting a recipe to you people, she has had Chaplain Kepke, Chaplain Rice, and myself in to sample of these savory bits of food, and you can take it from me. It is very effective culinary art, and I can recommend these things to any of you that want to try them. The preparation takes a little bit of patience and skill and practice, but it is very, very good. Now, but you try and see for yourself how it's going to work for you. I now give you Mrs. G, who is also with us at the office of the Retreat Center, and she will now give you some of the peculiar recipes of the Korean kitchen.
Thank you very much, Chicken Lamy. You can show some my great pleasure to give you two recipes of Korean dishes. Now, first of all, I'd like to give you the recipe of bulgogi, to teach in which the American way of barbecue. Now, people, three pounds of roasted beef, sliced thin, into 2 inches long and 1.5 inch wide. 4 stems of the sliced green onions, 1/2 inch long, in a cup. 2 pieces of garlic chopped, 2 tablespoons of sesame oil, the city's not evolving, missing all these food. And cut sugar, and cut soy sauce, cut cut water, there's a chicken, and it's like chicken. Move together of all ingredients, as if to do, input, boil, and pour to the meat. Mix well, and stir for half an hour. Prepare fire. Would be nice if you could prepare charcoal fire and boil them. It is always put together to eat as soon as they were boiled. Make this tenderoni. This chicken is called yaki. Prepare 3 pounds roast beef slice. 1 small chunk of cabbage. 3 round onions. 7 stems of green onions. 1 can of bamboo seeds. 2. If the vegetables are not possible, 1/2 pound of spinach. 5 carrots. And a cup of mushroom. 5 eggs. 1/2 cup garlic oil. 1 cup of salt. 1 cup sugar. Put all the vegetables into 1.5 inch long. Put those materials into a 6-inch mixing bowl, one by one. Do not mix for the cooking step. Pour 1 tablespoon salad oil into a heavy fry pan. Always it is better to use the heavy pan than steam. Fry about 1/3 of the meat. When the meat is about fried, put carrots, cabbage, and the rest of the vegetables. Always have vegetables cold and tender when cooked. Course of the different cooking times. When all the vegetables roll in, season with sugar, soy sauce, water, and salt. When the vegetables roll about fried, close the eggs one by one and put into the pan. And so, when the 5 cups of eggs roll cooked, repeated until everybody is satisfied. I found out that especially those recipes will like most dry and the American friends. I am happy you also doing well then. Goodbye.
Now I will testify to the fact that these recipes are good when properly prepared, and there will be a considerable amount of food consumed before the guests will be satisfied. But, Mrs. Reed, there is one other question I'd like to ask. Louis Kyung-hee is a very picture of health, and I wish that you would tell the ladies who might be listening how little Louis is doing and how old she is, and any other points of interest about your very charming little daughter that you think that they might be interested in hearing. Mrs. G again.
Okay. Louis Kyung-hee is really old. She's not the two things. Now she can talk, she was such as Freddy and Emma. Emma is mom in the current lady. I've known her how she can speak, mommy. But she always and mine, cutting lady. Now she was low, and tall, by herself, and as I think she was normally recognized my own, she could walk freely. By now, she can almost run through the garden, and yard, and the room. She could look through the night, sometimes 20 hours. Now, we would like to teach her English in Korean, but it is true sometimes she is just familiar with it. And by now, most of us speak to her in Korean, so she has really chance to learn English. but also to the art. We like to feature English products, chicken and the snow, English also. This product likes to say that I am famous life in the story.
Here you will have to perhaps focus the camera. The light is bad. The man who took this exposure set the camera a little bit. The exposure was very, very slow. We're getting on the bus on our way to Travis Air Force Base with Korea as the ultimate goal. This is a picture of the officers' club at Travis Air Force Base where we spent the day waiting for our airplane to take off. Another picture of Travis Air Force Base with the C-124 Taskmaster, they call them over here. It is a really a big, wonderful airplane, and they use these things to fly supplies and also troops across the ocean. It can carry a couple of 2.5-ton trucks. The bus, like you see in the foreground, would fit into the inside of that airplane quite easily. Probably that airplane would hold two of those buses. This is the airplane with the 72 American personnel took off from Travis Air Force Base, and our first stop is Hawaii. This was a flight throwback here. We didn't quite get off yet. There's the chapel with the large hospital in the background of Travis Air Force Base, north of San Francisco, California. This is a view of the ocean from about 18,000 feet. The clouds are at about 10,000 feet, and we're on our way to Honolulu. You see the Diamond Head in the background, one of the Maxim liners in the foreground. This is where the Jack struck in 1941, and which is a stopover place for ships. Planes and the troops as they go back and forth across the Pacific waterway. Another view of Hawaii showing a part of the rugged coastline. And here is a native doing some fishing with a net. These pictures I purchased at the Coast Exchange. We were here from 3 in the morning until 6 in the morning, so I could take no pictures myself. We get back on the plane at 6 in the morning and are on our way to Wake Island, which looks something like this. It is an atoll, a coral atoll out in the middle of the Pacific. It used to be a bomber base, but it is now just a place for refueling stops and is under commercial control. This is operations at and here is a native doing some fishing with a net. These pictures I purchased at Coast Exchange. We were here from 3 in the morning until 6 in the morning, so I could take no pictures myself. We get back on the plane at 6 in the morning and are on our way to Wake Island, which looks something like this. It is an atoll, a coral atoll out in the middle of the Pacific. It used to be a bomber base, but is now just a place for refueling stops and is under commercial control. This is operations at Wake Island. You see a Navy plane in the background that is used when ships and planes get into trouble. It can fly out over the ocean and land in the water. This is a bomber. Look at it close. It belongs to you if you remember your income tax. But this also is part of the striking force that keeps America safe and doing business as usual. Without this kind of strength strung out over the wide reaches of the world, you people would soon be very, very uncomfortable with communist taskmasters. This is one of the things that makes your life back there in Illinois or Wisconsin or Minnesota possible. An airplane that was carrying supplies to our forces in Japan. It followed our airplane right along. It was a Flying Tigers Airlines plane and arrived in Japan a few hours after we did. We are here coming in at Wake Island. at Wake Island at 2 in the afternoon. We get back aboard the airplane. All of us are sweating. It is very hot, very humid, even though it is the 8th of November. But you'll notice the perspiration in the airman's shirt there in the foreground. We went up to 10,000 feet, which became cold, and half of us, because of the still caught cold, but that is part of this thing of traveling. We take off and we're on our way to Japan. This is over the ocean again, but it is actually between Japan and Korea. And if you will look under the wing tank, you will see a faint picture of Fujiyama. To take this picture, I should have had a filter, which I did not have with me. And that is the problem there, but we are out. This is what the ocean looks like from 15,000 feet up. This is the inside of one of those crash masses. You have to look at it very closely. You will see the upper deck and the lower deck, and you can put large vehicles in here, and those airplanes can take off. Actually, those airplanes are one of the safest airplanes that the Air Force has. They fly constantly between Japan and Korea. We have arrived in Korea, and there are about 200 people on that airplane, more or less. It might have been 150. I didn't count them. But that is a tremendously large airplane. We have now arrived in Korea and are on our way to our unit. Seoul, Korea is a city of 1,800,000 people. It was largely destroyed during the Korean War. As you notice, a lot of, nearly all the traffic is heavy buses or jeeps or jeep-type station wagons. This is because there are many, many miles of unpaved roads in the city yet. This is one of the major intersections in Seoul. We will give you a couple of views of the area now. This is one of the units, Detachment B, KMAG, one of the chapel where I conduct services each Wednesday evening is in the foreground. My jeep is off to the left. If you look closely, you will see some buildings in the background. This is the kind of a place where your son or brother will serve if he comes to Korea. Two of the officers who will command your sons when they come to serve in Korea, Colonel Howard of Detachment B, and Colonel Holm, also of Detachment B. These men are advisors to the ROK Army. And Colonel Holm is a Lutheran and attends my service regularly. What your friends will be doing, this is what the signal people are doing. They are fixing telephone lines here. This is a signal group of people who their colored sergeant is instructing the young man up on the pole. This is a view of North Korea and is some of the terrains your boy will be serving in. Another group of signal people who are doing the work of the Army in keeping communications in line. Communications are probably one of the most important phases of our fighting forces in these days. This is a Corps headquarters near the DMZ, and this is, here you have a village, a Korean village looking toward North Korea. The mountains that are white in the foreground are over in communist North Korea. The infantry will be carrying out training exercises such as this. This column of soldiers extends back about a mile and a half in just this way. It is probably a couple of infantry companies training, eating dust, sliding along the road. Even in this ultrasonic age, we still need infantrymen to go in, take over, and control the land. This is the picture of another headquarters where the commanders have their offices and where they have their meetings to plan the strategy of a nation that is at war yet not at war. Just a picture outside of one of our camps, which shows some of the units, named some of the units that are at the camp. This is one of our camps shown from a distance. The name of this camp is down to the left on the little, this is Camp Kaiser. where our American troops are billeted in the quandaries that you see off in the distance. You see a Korean on the back of this Korean truck, and these Korean laborers work around in our compound. This is another American compound. If you look at it closely, these boys live in these quandaries and work out of these places. Their mess halls, clubs, everything is right here, and after dark, you are not supposed to be out of your compound. You ask the careers like you have here a normal village scene. This scene, incidentally, is taken from right behind my chapel. Here are some Korean troops doing what our American troops are doing, training so that in case the enemy goes to war, we will be ready. This is the type of airplane that the high-ranking officers usually fly around in here in Korea. Time is of essence, and transportation is poor. The roads are bad, and jeeps are slow, but airplanes are fast, and they, as much as they can, they move personnel in these airplanes because of the time factor. I moved from Seoul, Korea, down to my unit in Wonju, a distance of about 70 miles, in this airplane on the first morning that I arrived at my unit. This is the retreat center in Seoul, Korea. Here you have a picture of Chaplain Chepsi and his assistant who plays the organ playing in the background. Soldiers can go here for up to 4 days without being charged to leave, and a chaplain conducts the retreat, and where the young men have an opportunity to think entirely of spiritual things and are again reminded that their God is in heaven, and desires the worship of his creatures. This is missionary Foss, his wife and 3 daughters, with Chaplain Chepsi, a Sunday afternoon last November. Another picture of the 8th Army Retreat Center with Dr. Yu, and of course my Jeep is in the background on the way up to the retreat center. Chaplain Rice, the 8th Army chaplain, was the number one chaplain over in Korea for a long period of time. Many of you people will know Chaplain Rice. He is our Missouri Synod chaplain. This was taken about a week before he departed up at the retreat center. What the boys do in Korea, they have been doing for 6,000 years, find girls and marry and are given in marriage. This young soldier got married during the time that I conducted the Protestant retreat at the retreat center. They now have a very lovely new chapel at the retreat center. This is only a temporary one. This is the entrance to the main palace in Seoul, and a group of my recruits are going in the throne room in this palace. Korea at one time had a tremendous culture, but Japan attempted to destroy this culture and was defeated and was successful in practically destroying the culture of Korea. These people are intelligent, they are really brilliant, hard workers. However, they have been under oppression so long that their culture is largely gone. This is one of the things, though, that has been preserved, and it shows that these people are brilliant and can accomplish a tremendous amount, and actually they have a number of divisions that are standing between you and those people who would like to take away that which you have. Another picture in the palace, which covers a tremendous number of acres. I don't have time to spend a lot of time there. I just want to show you that the Koreans have had wonderful culture and are capable of some really tremendous things. This is a Presbyterian church that has been built by Korean refugees in Seoul. It seats about 1,000 people and is a very fine house of worship. Yours truly, I had cough drops only that morning, giving a little Korean boy some cough drops. Chiefly because I wanted this picture, which was taken by Chaplain Ed Ramos some a week or so after I arrived in Korea. Off in the distance, you will see some women who probably live in caves in the mountains. Dr. Yu was telling me about poverty that is here. They have a number of thousands of people that live up in this mountain across from the retreat center in the cave. These caves are warm in winter, cool in summer, and there is no rent. There are usually laborers or people who have been driven, refugees from North Korea, and quite often when the people eat their breakfast, they have to go out and earn some more money before they can have anything more to eat. And they will work for about 600-700 won a day, which is worth roughly about 80 cents in our money. These people, thousands of them, still live in caves here and under conditions of great poverty. These are some orphans who were living in a tent for 2 years. The winter before last, before I arrived in Korea, two young types like this in their tent were found frozen to death. The army, together with the chapels in Seoul, under the direction of Chaplain Ledbetter, the Seoul Area Command Chaplain, were able to get together $3,000 or $4,000, and they built this block house with the help of the local engineers, and last winter, these types were warm. Another group of these little people who have no father, no mother, or anybody else to take care of them, and so some other people gather them into groups and try to feed them and keep them warm. The clothing you see these children wearing are cast off from American attics in the United States. Some of them have been remade, but most of the things that you see are contributions from the United States, without which their little bodies would be naked. Another group of this is a picture taken outside of our own orphanage, of a little wanderer's orphanage in Wanju. This shows the parentless children, victims of the Korean War, who are being taken care of by the lady who is the wife of the man who runs the orphanage. Another group of these orphans, you will notice the American clothes that they are wearing. All of this clothes came to my chapel from boxes that were sent in by people who lived here and went back to the United States to our orphanage and welfare committee, Detachment L. Fremont. These are some of the 600 children that we are attempting to keep warm through the cold weather from winter to winter. This is quite a project here. Another group of these orphans, again, notice the cast-off American clothing that they are wearing. This is probably the only clothing that these types have, just what you see them wearing at the moment. There is yours truly again discussing the time of day with some of these young Korean citizens, Captain Baker, a captain from Detachment L. Kamag, also a member of the Orphanage and Welfare Committee here, took this picture, and again you notice the South American clothes. This is Captain Baker, who has done much work to help these Korean children, and he was a present on this particular day at the orphanage with me. We were attempting to solve a problem for this orphanage, and it has been successfully solved. A close-up of some of the children. The Asiatic face people say is expressionless, but when you study it and look at it, it is probably one of the most expressive faces on Earth, I think. Again, the American soldiers. Another group, and you'll notice the lady with her little tattoo on her back. This is the way they carry their children from a little on up. And the training to carry children this way begins at a very early age. This girl is about 12 or 14 years old, but she is being trained by carrying her little sister on her back. This is a street scene in Wanju, Korea. It's a town of about 80,000, where Detachment L is located right outside of this town. I took this particular picture through the windshield of my Jeep because I wanted to point out the woman carrying a bushel and a half, and there's that many apples in that box, but a bushel and a half apples on her head. Now, I want all men in the audience to refer to this picture every time the wife complains that she cannot have the car to go to the grocery store, a basket, and a small tab between the basket and the head will serve the purpose just as well, and you men can then have the power to go fishing. The that it can be done, a wife can be trained. There are people who have given up on this project, but these trigger ones are real sharp. They explain them right. So if you have too many complaints about no second child in the family, just remember and point out this picture to the good wife. Another picture, I tried to get a little piece done. If you see off to the left on my camera, but the lady was moving too fast and the juice was jouncing, and before I could get my driver to stop, she had all but disappeared with a very cute little baby on her back. And a little fellow was crossing the road. He's got his eye on that juice and those soldiers too. He was looking back, but it was not the picture that I really wanted. But it is a true scream in Juan Ju Korea, and you want to know what these streets look like and what these towns look like. Another scene, I wanted to get a picture of a man with his A-frame. They have been carrying burdens on their A-frame for many centuries, and I want you to see this particular scene. Now, you have the Methodist Hospital that is being built. It's a $500,000 building. It will be a 50-bed hospital and will be the center of the Methodist Mission here in Korea. A Presbyterian woman doctor will work here together with a couple of Methodist doctors. This is what some of the other churches are doing here in Korea. They've been here about 100 years, the Methodist Presbyterians. The Catholics also have done a tremendous amount of work because all of the people realize the tremendous need of that these people shall see Jesus. It is the purpose and the aim of Dr. G to assist in this ministry also. These are some of the chaplains that I advise. Second from the left back row is Chaplain Wong, the first Korean Army chaplain, who is my counterpart, and the other men here are Korean chaplains. They are Methodist or Presbyterian and a few country pastors. You notice they are carrying a book. Those in the front row are our chaplain, our collection here at our chapel, the third Sunday of every month, go to buy books for these chaplains. They have very few books. And that is what Dr. G is also talking about in his Soldiers Memorial Library. They need books over here very, very badly, of all descriptions and kinds, especially those books of theology. And we have been able to spend several hundreds of dollars to provide books for these Korean chaplains. This happens to be a Japanese Bible dictionary. Your speaker was Chaplain Wong, the Korean Army chaplain, the first Korean Army chaplain. The two silver leaves indicate that he is a lieutenant colonel. I am to advise him to be with him, help him solve his problems in things, especially of the military, because their experience in these areas is quite short. One of the chapels that belongs to the Caprock Division has just recently been completed on the inside, except for this floor. These people are struggling some stretch to produce houses of worship, temples of the Lord. It is not easy. There are many struggles in conjunction with this. They are very, very poor in a lot of areas, but they are putting forth a real effort, and of course, God's blessing has been and will continue to be with them. And as an illustration of this God's blessing, we have four Korean rocks who were one generation ago, they are one generation removed from total heathenism. They did not know the love of Christ, nor the salvation that may be theirs through Christ's atonement. That work is continuing here in Korea. Let the following music be an illustration that progress is being made. Here is a portion of my chapel choir. Savior, thy dying love. Thank you.
Lopez, the boys, and all of you people who will be hearing this, I want to answer a few of these questions. I'm speaking as for that way without any prepared notes. There will be a few I's and O's and pauses in here, but I will try to give you an off-the-record a briefing on the situation in Korea. Your first question, Pastor Boyd, is could you describe for us briefly the conditions and surroundings under which an American GI lives during his tour in Korea? You have seen a number of the pictures on how we travel from the United States to Korea. We stop in Takikawa in Japan, come over in the C-124, land at the Air Force Base. The people are then picked up by bus and processed in Ashkan City, some 20 miles south of Seoul. Then the men go to their unit and are assigned to their military occupation specialty, MOS is what they call it in the military. And you saw a picture of some signal people fixing high lines or telephone lines, whatever it is they were doing. But the soldiers do, first of all, the same things that they do in the United States, in the Army, all that soldiers have been doing for centuries. They are ready to fight a war here. It must be remembered that Korea is still only under truce. There is an agreement not to fight for the time being. And our two divisions on the DMZ north of Seoul, that's the demilitarized zone, are facing divisions of greater numbers of North Koreans and Chinese across the border. These people must be ready to go to war within a matter of minutes, and there is constant training in every phase of military duty. The soldiers all live in kinds of huts. They're very comfortable as far as the basic necessities are concerned, but they do not have the comfort of home in a lot of ways. The soldier lives in a barracks where there will be 16 or 20 men in the barracks who sleep on an army cot. Their showers and latrine facilities are sometimes primitive. The water often is not potable or drinkable, and drinkable water must be carried into the unit. Because of the new concept of nuclear warfare, the units are scattered out over quite a wide area. You will find the small detachments in what they call a compound. The soldier is not supposed to be out of this compound after dark. The two divisions that we have north of Seoul, the 7th Infantry and the 1st Cavalry Division, are, of course, facing the enemy and must act accordingly, though there are, at the moment, no bullets flying. I myself am with the Korea Military Advisory Group, and our job is to give as much of our know-how to the Korean Army. There is somewhere between 10 and 20 divisions of Korean people. There are about 150 chaplains in the Korean Army, in the 1st Korean Army. And I am opposite Chaplain Wong, the Korean Army chaplain. We live in a small compound across from Army headquarters and have constant contact with these Korean people. And most of my advisory work is with the Koreans themselves. We see a whole lot of the Koreans, more than the Americans who are up in the divisions and on the line, get to see of the Koreans. We see the finest and, of course, the worst. And the Koreans are certainly wonderful people. They are cultured, they are gentle, they are intelligent, though it must be borne in mind that the communists actually killed off many thousands of truly outstanding leaders among the Korean people. But, of course, you can never kill off everybody like that without destroying the entire race. And we have many brilliant and fine generals, and this army is good. They are ready to fight and very capable of fighting. And our job is, of course, to help them with our know-how. Now, the next question, are you of the opinion that the Lutheran Church has an urgent challenge and responsibility toward its members in the service? That is certainly true. I am convinced that Christ is present in many of the other churches, the non-Lutheran churches, but the older I get and the more I knock around this world, and it includes points from Panmunjom, Korea, to Berlin, Germany, north, south, east, and west, all races, creeds, and colors. I feel that the message of the Lutheran Church is the most effective way of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, his atonement, and the hope of eternal salvation, and the union between man and God to these people. And many of the non-Lutheran chaplains certainly are not capable of serving our Lutheran people. And the look of gratitude in the eyes of our Lutheran men who are away from home, they are homesick and lonesome, to be able to get an opportunity to talk to a Lutheran pastor, a Lutheran chaplain, or to come to his services. Some of these lads ask Norman to drive 100, 150 miles for the privilege of attending the Lord's Supper. There is no substitute, believe me, when you're away from home and lonely and miserable, to have the opportunity to be beside your loved ones, at least on your knees before the altar of the Lord, to receive Holy Communion. That makes it possible in a spiritual way to remove the thousands of miles between your loved ones and yourself, because you know that they too are appearing regularly before the altar of the Lord to receive the pledge and token of the forgiveness of their sins and through the atonement of Jesus our Savior. The thanks and the gratitude that has been expressed to me personally by Lutheran servicemen is beyond all description. I personally would not be in the military if I did not consider that it is probably one of the most vital services in our nation. We get into contact with many thousands of non-Lutherans, and many people are in the Lutheran Church today because of their contact with Lutheran chaplains in the military. I feel it is a tremendous service, and there is no limit to the amount of construction in the kingdom of God's grace that can be done in the military. And I can only say I hope that more firm, strong, good young candidates from the seminary will enter the chaplaincy and consider the chaplaincy as a career as long as our present world situation continues. Now, the next question that you asked was a rundown on my normal daily activities. To describe this, first of all, you will have to understand the situation. Mind you, is located about 75 miles east and mostly south of Seoul. About 55 to 60 miles north of us is our detachment Alpha, with about 45 enlisted men and officers. Out of Kenton, which is about 60 miles to the north and a little bit to the east, is detachment B, or Bravo, with about the same number of people. Then we have detachment Charlie, or C. That is nearer the east coast of Korea. And right below the DMZ, we have detachment Delta, also has about 40 to 50 men. This varies according to the strength. They're authorized about 35 men officers, and they advise divisions and corps, while our headquarters advises the Army headquarters. Now, these five chapels, I am responsible to see that a Protestant and a Catholic service is scheduled for each chapel every Sunday morning, and this means that we have a civilian priest come in, and they are paid by appropriated funds from H Army headquarters. There has to be a time and an opportunity, and the civilian missionaries have to be paid. Here at Detachment L, I have my service at 9:30. A Catholic missionary comes in at 11. He is confessions and has his mass at 11:30. At Detachment Alpha, they have a mass at 11:30 each Sunday morning, and I leave here about 1:30 by airplane usually to Detachment A, and have a 5:15 service and do my counseling Sunday evenings and Monday morning. Monday morning, I then return usually again by L-19 by air from there,
and come back here to do my routine work, which includes taking care of the welfare program. This includes 5 orphanages and a leper colony. Currently, I am involved in trying to get a dispensary for the leper colony, a clinic built, and also we are trying to produce a chapel for these people. We have collected a number of dollars for that. There are constant things at the orphanages that need some little attention, but I let the line officer take care of most of it. I simply cannot do it. Monday is taken up with routine paperwork, writing letters, reading letters from my wife when she sends them, and the letters concerning the welfare of enlisted men and such as that. On Tuesday morning, we have an army briefing that can go anywhere from 15 minutes to 3 hours regarding the affairs in the entire army and along most of the bamboo curtain, the DMZ, that is guarded by the Korean soldiers. Tuesday afternoon, I must plan my bulletin for the service of Detachment B, that is Delta, on Wednesday evening, and take care of routine things and staff duties that have to be taken care of here. On Tuesday evening, my assistant and myself have an English class for those Koreans, specifically the Korean girls who are in the choir, to prepare them for the, teach them the English words to the songs that they sing in our service on Sunday morning. Now, then on Wednesday morning, again, we have routine office work, and on Wednesday, shortly after Wednesday noon, I have to get ready to get in an airplane to go up to Delta, have a service there that evening together with consultations and discussions on the affairs of that little detachment, and there are many minor things to talk about soldiers' welfare and both spiritual and material, and we work with a doctor, with the Red Cross, with the commanding officer in solving these particular problems. We have the service then at you saw the picture of the little chapel before, where I go every Wednesday evening. Sometimes I have to make it by jeep, and the weather is bad. That means driving almost a soul and then north. It is a 5.5-hour ride one way by jeep on very dangerous roads. And on Thursday morning, I return here and spend the next day and a half getting ready for the weekend, which means checking out that each one of the 5 chapels is going to have a chaplain or a missionary or a Catholic priest for each service. These people, of course, have to be paid. That is part of the paperwork. We have to send in reports as to who had what service, where and when, and when each army finance pays these missionaries. Now, here at Detachment L, as I said, I have the one service here, and the Catholic priest comes in. A Detachment A, a Catholic priest, and myself for that Detachment B. The chaplain from the Missile Command takes care of the Protestant service. The Catholic priest comes in there. The Catholic priest, the Presbyterian missionary, conducts that service. And the Catholic priest that comes in there. And at Delta, a priest comes out of Seoul. And they have a Catholic mass on Sunday. And I have the service there on Wednesday. So this week, I do have the 3 services. And I see that the other 7 services are taken care of. On a couple of the routine things that come up, you will find that some American soldier wants to marry a Korean girl. This, of course, can be good or can be bad, and most of the time it is not good. You attempt to talk them out of it, but you get them to go home and marry a girl of their own race, creed, and color. But now, each month I must appear at each one of the detachments which we can serve in this headquarters for a character guidance lecture. I appear before 98% of the men under this command with a character guidance hour, which amounts to reminding the men that the Ten Commandments is the proper way of life, not only of spiritual life, but also of our nation, and that our Declaration of Independence and Constitution are all based on the Ten Commandments. Now,
this is rather vague, but it covers such a wide area of activities that it is about the best I can do in the short time that is available to us. Now, to go on to the last point, you asked Pastor Boyd, maybe you would wish to address a few words to the listeners personally. Sure, if possible, you could make it general. If I have anything to say regarding this thing here, I must begin by saying that it is probably one of the most important functions in our nation today in holding communism in its place. And if communism breaks loose, believe it, fellow believers, you will lose not only your personal property and things that you have struggled to build in your whole life, you will also lose Jesus Christ. Now, your faith probably could not be destroyed, but without the protection which you have in our American way of life, your children would soon be driven out of the fold of Jesus' truth. That Christian faith can be removed, it can be destroyed, and these forces are vicious, wicked, and tremendously powerful. We are over here in Korea holding our portion of this. These commitments go on around the world, and from Berlin to Panmunjom, as I said, there must be armed might to contain this cancer on our society called communism. That is what we are doing here primarily, trying to make sure that your affairs there back in the United States will not be disturbed. In the process of doing this, we are doing a tremendous amount of work here. I want to add a note regarding Dr. G's program in Seoul. It is of tremendous importance. The Lutheran Church has a real message for these people here in Korea, which is presently in the hands of the Presbyterians, Methodists, and Catholics. But I believe that there is a real mission for the Lutheran Church, and Dr. G should be given every support. His biggest need right at the moment, I hope it will be met soon, is that he should have a car to get around. He's wasting too many very valuable hours riding streetcars or trying to make connections, and it is time that is wasted from a life that is tremendously vital and important to us. We also need a church here as a seat of